Hello and welcome to Reliance's podcast. We hope that the message encourages your heart today. If you'd like to join us in person, we meet weekly on Sunday mornings at 8, 9:30, or 11 o'clock a.m. And if you want to find out more about Reliance, come check us out online.
So we are in a series all through March called The Gospel. And we're looking at different parts of what the gospel is leading up to Easter. And last week, if you remember, we talked about how the gospel is good news. And it's not just any good news. The name gospel means good news. It's good news about the king and his kingdom. Jesus came to establish that he's the king and he's got a kingdom that he brought. And so it's his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as in heaven. That's what he's talking about with the Father's kingdom. I'm bringing it with me. And so today I want to talk about the power of the gospel. What happens when we think about the power of the gospel? And it's a really big deal because when we think about the gospel, we know that it's not weak. We know that it's not timid. It's not watered down. It's the power of God. Somebody say amen. And so I love this word that the gospel is powerful. There have been moments in our lives. Maybe you've had some moments in your life that were markers in your life. I remember that moment. It was a powerful moment in your life or a first time encounter in your life. Getting married for me and having our kids for us. Those were amazing, powerful moments. 1991, I remember the Boys to Men comes out with that song, End of the Road. Amen. At the end of the road. Middle school dance, sixth grade. First kiss on the cheek. It was a big moment. Big moment. We've got those moments that we're reminded of. We remember those moments. None of those. My marriage to my beautiful wife, my kids, that moment that you have in your life. None of them compare to the moment the gospel message of Jesus Christ came into your life. That defines all things. It set you free. It marked your life. It changed everything. And so for thousands of years, the gospel has been changing people's lives. It's transformed millions upon millions upon millions of lives because it is the good news. And this is what we said. It's the good news that Jesus came and his life and his death and his resurrection from the dead brought the rule and the reign of the king. And this is what we said in Mark 1:15. Jesus says these words, "The time has come, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." And so Paul's going to pick this up in his language in Romans as well. And in Romans, Paul says these words in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." And he's going to tell us why he's not ashamed of the gospel. "For it is the power of God." For what? For salvation to everyone who believes. Now that word power, that it's the power of God, that word in the Greek is dunamis. You've heard us talk about this before. That word power, that word dunamis means it's a supernatural miracle working power that can only come from God and that changes lives. It's not like power that you would think about, oh, that person, they've got some power, they got some strength, they can really do some cool magical things or whatever. It's not any of that kind of power. All of that is nothing in comparison to the power of God, amen? To the dunamis power of God. It's the power of God for salvation. And so I want to start here today because I think it's important when we talk about the power of the gospel, we got to start in the right place. I want to run in a lot of places today, but we can't run into any of those until we start with what the gospel came to first do. And the first thing that the gospel came to do was to bring justification. Somebody say justification. The gospel justified us before the Lord again. Let me tell you why that's such an important deal. Who loves to be justified? Anybody? Like any arguers in here, debaters in here, and when you're having a debate and they think they're right, you think you're, and you Google it and you're right, because Google's all things right, right? But like you win the argument and there's a little part of you that you're not humble in. Somebody say amen. You're like, I knew I was right. We like to be justified. We like to be right. We like it when that happens. And so when this word justification comes from the gospel and the power of the gospel brings us into a place of being justified by God, it's a beautiful thing. It's an empowering deal. And so justification is the starting point of the power of the gospel because as we mentioned last week, we were imprisoned to a dominion of darkness. Before Jesus, you and I lived in a place that was ruled and reigned by darkness and death. That's the place that we were from. It was the dominion of darkness. And because of our sin, we belonged to a dominion that was linked to death. Because the dominion of darkness or the dominion of the enemy is death, but the dominion or the kingdom of God is what? Life. So we were marked by death and darkness. That was our life before Jesus. Here's how I know that, because we read this last week, Colossians 1:13. God has rescued us from the dominion, that's rulership, the authority, from the dominion of darkness and has brought us into the kingdom of his dear son. We needed rescued from a dominion that we were a part of. We needed somebody to come and rescue us. And this is why, because Romans 6:23 says this is what was a part of our life. The wages of sin is, that was our marker. That's what we had. Because we have sin in our life, the wages of sin was death. And so we had a bit of a problem. We needed a rescue. And so if you want to read that, look at Romans chapter 1 through 3. We're not going to have time to go through it. But Romans chapter 1 through 3 will talk all about how you and I were under the righteous wrath of God. He's righteous. He wasn't wrong in it. He was righteous, and we were under that wrath. And that's not some small feat that we should just kind of sweep under the rug. Yeah. We love to talk about the love of God. Let's sweep everything else under the table. We were once under the wrath of a righteous God. Somebody say amen. Romans 1 through 3, read it. And then this is what happened. We had a little human predicament in our heart. Something's going to happen. We tried to save ourselves by any way that we could do it. I'll follow the law, I'll try to save myself, I'll try to be a good person, I'll try to save myself. And there's a little human predicament that we find that we are incapable of saving ourselves. Any control people out there? Come on, raise your hands. There you are. You can't control life. Right? We're incapable of controlling life. We're incapable of saving ourselves. We're incapable of being saviors in our own lives. It's why we struggle, because in life we want to be able to do that. We are lost, and the only means of rectifying our life back in a right relationship with God is through who He provides, not what we provide. Meaning, I didn't bring anything to the table, He brought everything to the table. That's how we were rectified back to God. We don't even have the capability inside of us without Him leading us by His Spirit. So God possesses it and gives it to us. And this is why Scripture says it's by grace you have been saved. This is not of yourself. It's a free gift so that no one can boast. There's no one in here. I know you hear say this a lot. No one gets to say, I was really, really good in life, and that's going to get me where I need to be. I practiced righteousness really, really well, and I just nailed it, and because I was kind of perfect, that's why God got me in. Everybody say amen? We're good on that? There's nothing that we brought to the table. It was all what He brought to the table. Now, here's why this is a struggle, why we call it a human predicament. Humanity finds this very painstakingly hard to conceive that we're not awesome. The reality is we want to believe that we can save ourselves. We want to believe that we can do it on ourselves. We want to believe it's part of our sin nature. The sin nature inside of us says, I can do it. I can make my way. I can be good enough. I can earn this. I can go after this. It's part of that nature, this idea that I can do it. And so we love God, but we have this kind of mentality in us of going, I'm pretty sure that I can do this on my own. I talk with men all the time, and for so many, this is their hangup, and I know it is for women too. But this is the hangup for so many men that I get to talk with, and it's this hangup of, I don't want to be told that I'm lost and incapable of finding my way. I don't want to be told. All you got to do is be on a road trip with a guy who has no idea where he's going. Amen? He doesn't want to be told he's lost and incapable of finding his way. And so he would rather starve to death on that road trip than ask for what? Ask for directions. Most men would rather bleed out, arms cut off, and they're like, no, it's just a flesh wound. I'll take care of it myself. Why? Because there's something in us, and women too, I just get to hang out with guys all the time, right? But there's something in us that we want to do it on our own. It's part of the human nature inside of us. And so here's what Scripture says about this. In Genesis 6, the Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth, and he saw that everything they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. Romans 3:10, as the Scriptures say, no one is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. Ephesians 2:3, by our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. And so what we're seeing here is a setup. And I got a lot. I mean, we're going to go heavy in Scripture today. So just jot them down. We're going to move. We needed rescue. This is what he's saying. Like, we couldn't do it. We needed rescue. And so this is where we ultimately have to begin. We talk about the power of the gospel. We talk about the power of gospel. We got to start in this place of saying we needed first, before anything else, we needed justified again before God. We were separated from him. We needed justified again before God. We needed him to bring us back into his kingship and his rule and his reign. And so we see in Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been, everybody say justified. Justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, that in him, that's Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. And so here he is, he's bringing us back. And not only is he bringing us back, he's saying because of what Jesus did, now we are the righteousness of God. That's a big deal. Because some of us don't believe that in here. We talked about that a few months back in a men's group that we were part of. This, we were going around talking about how bad we were, good, bad, and ugly. And we focused so much on the, here's the places that I've messed up, forgetting that we are the righteousness of God because of what Christ Jesus has done. We tend to focus more on how bad we are versus how good he is. Amen? And so 1 Peter tells us in 1:19, we've been ransomed by Christ's blood. You can read this. The blood that should have been ours to shed, Christ took our place facing the righteous wrath of his Father. And here's what Scripture says, completely satisfying his justice. Not a little bit, completely. Somebody say completely. Let me tell you why that's important, that you understand that. The justifying grace of God completely satisfied the grace of God or the wrath of God, and we get a little hung up on that. And here's what I mean by we get a little hung up on that. We still think in our heart that I've got to do a little bit of earning in my life. I know that you completely satisfied the wrath of God, Jesus, but I've got a little bit of a problem believing that to receive this, I've got to earn this. And so the power of the gospel to start with is that not only he justified us, but he freely gave it to us. You didn't earn it. Does anybody struggle with that? Does anybody still have a little bit of a list keeping in their life with Christ? You kind of have that mentality. You don't actually keep it, but in your head, you're tallying today 10 things I did something bad, 5 good, bad day, or 10 things I did something good, 5 bad, good day. Does anybody tally just a little bit in their life still? Come on, let's go. We're family in here. All right. We still have some things in us that believe I still got to do something to earn this. And yet, we just read it in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God. And so we play this game with God of going like, can I lose your love? Can I get your love? I earn it. Can you give me a little bit more of it? We do this in love. Like when you first fall in love, I remember Christy and I, when we first fell in love and we laid there, you know, and we're talking. And so you go through that thing of like, if I didn't have one eye, would you still love me? Yes, I would still love you. If my nose fell off, would you still love? No, I wouldn't actually. Like what we're trying to do is like, we're trying to draw these lines of where would your love end? And we do the same thing with God, don't we? We try to draw these lines like, Lord, if I did this or I know I did this, I bet you don't love me anymore. If my heart gets a little bit off, I bet you that's where your love ends. And the problem with that is that's not what Scripture says. Scripture says in Romans 8 that nothing can separate us from the love of God for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? And so here we are, we've got this human predicament in us where one, we want to save ourselves, and two, we've got this little problem of believing that we're still going to earn something from him when it's been freely given. And so the power of the gospel has come to tell you, one, he justifies you and it's nothing that you did, and two, it's completely satisfied. He completely satisfied the wrath of God in himself, in Jesus. It's beautiful. And so Isaiah 53:5 tells us why. He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are what? That piercing, he pierced us with our, he was pierced for our transgressions. That's our rebellion. That's that nature that separates us from God, that rebellious, like, I'm going to make my own way. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to live my best life. I'm going to be the God of my universe. I'm going to be the God of my heart. We've got a rebellious nature inside of us, and it says he was pierced for that. He was pierced for that. Then it says he was crushed for our iniquities. That's our sin nature. You and I, we were born into sin. Nobody came out perfect. No, nobody, right? You came, you're born into sin, and those iniquities, that depravity of sin was on us. And so Jesus comes and he's pierced for our transgressions. He's crushed for our iniquities, and by his stripes, we've been made whole or we've been healed. And so 1 Peter 2:24 tells us the same thing. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds, we are healed. Is that good news in here? The power of Christ, the power of the gospel, the power of Jesus broke every other power out there. Broke every power. The power of disease, the power of sickness, the power of the orphaned heart, the power of loneliness, the power of fear, ultimately the power of death. All of those things in the dominion of darkness held power over you and I. Jesus comes in and destroys those with his power. He set us free. And here's the thing. Some of us are still living as though we're still under that power of darkness. We're still running in fear, my life as well. We're still running, believing that there's this death over my life. We're still running, believing that, man, what if I get sick? And what if this sickness gets me? And I don't know what I'm going to do. We still live as though we're still under the power of the dominion of darkness and not the power of Jesus Christ. Do you hear me? And this is part of the issue that I think we're running into in the gospel of Jesus Christ in America is we've watered down this gospel and we're still fearing and living under death and all these orphaned heart kind of thing. And yet the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ is inside of us. It's big. It's huge. So Romans 6:9 says these words. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion, ruling or rulership or authority over him. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. He broke through death. Why in the world are we wandering around going, oh, the worst thing that could happen to me is that I die? We live, unless we don't believe it. Unless we believe that we're still under a different dominion. Look at Colossians 2. Man, Colossians 2:13. And you were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all of our trespasses by canceling the record of debt. Our debt was long. We'd never repay it. You've heard that? Our debt was long. We could never repay it. The canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. Like we had something to pay. And God pays it through Christ. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. I love this. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and he put them to open shame by triumphing over them on the cross. I want to do a work on this. Verse 15. He disarmed, meaning that they were armed, and he disarmed the rulers and authorities. There was a time you and I were a part of a kingdom of darkness, and we were being ruled over by these dark things, principalities, demonic things that they were armed with fear and death and loneliness and discouragement. They were armed with sickness and disease and all of these things, and they were armed with those things, and Jesus comes and disarms them. Amen. He breaks them free from us. He disarms them, and then he publicly shames them so that all of heaven will understand those things no longer hold power over you. This is why we're justified. It's the power of the gospel. We've been set free from that kingdom of darkness and these things that were demonic spirits and principalities and Satan that were armed to keep us and believing that we are still part of that kingdom of darkness. He came and he broke through. So why is this important? It's important because in that swift moment, we had a relational change with God. We were separated from God, Scripture says. And he says in Romans 5, we're not going to have time to read through all of it, but therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we now have peace with God. We now have peace with God through Christ, whom we've gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And he did this that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We go on and on and on. What you need to see today, church, and what I pray that you see today is that you have been justified, and in that justifying relational thing that he's done and bringing us back in right relationship with God, there's a word that we use in Christianity. It's called we've been regenerated. Everybody say regenerated. Regeneration means to be born again. This is the word that Jesus uses when he's talking with Nicodemus. It's the word he uses in John 3:3. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And so when we say that we're born again, he has cleaned it up, man. We are born again. You're not the same person that you were. You're new. You're a new person. Justification then is what God does for us through Jesus. Regeneration is what God does in us through the Holy Spirit. I've been justified and I'm made new. I got a new nature. I got a new nature. It's justification is what we experience in a right relationship with God. Regeneration is the transformation that we experience where our nature is changed by the Spirit of God. Why is that important? Because you've heard the language. I'm not a sinner anymore. I'm a saint. You guys have heard that language. I like the one that says, I'm not a sinner. I'm a son. And you know, ladies in this room, sonship means daughters too. So you're not a sinner, you're a son. You're not a sinner, you're a daughter. Why is that important? Because as a son and as a daughter, we still got sin, but it doesn't rule and reign over us anymore. I'm not a part of that dominion of darkness anymore. It doesn't own me. And so if we still believe, though, that we're still sinners and we're struggling with this identity of sonship, we will still live and operate under a spirit of fear and a spirit of darkness and under a spirit of death. But when we operate as sons and daughters in his kingdom, we're heirs and co-heirs with Christ. It's a big deal. This is what justification and regeneration does. It changes everything. This is the start of the power of the gospel. And so I'm gonna table this just for a minute. So would you guys do me a favor? Some of us in this room, we struggle with this. We're not done. We got lots to go. Amen. But we can't move on until we get this. And there are hearts in here going, I'm still trying to earn this thing. And I call myself a sinner. I don't even know about the sonship stuff. And I'm still identifying with my old nature and not the new nature that Jesus has given me freely, not because I did anything. We're still identifying with that. So would you do me a favor? Would you close your eyes, bow your heads for a minute? If you're in this room today and this word justification is hard for you to accept, you still believe, God, I gotta earn this thing. God, I'm striving. I don't even know how to handle this. I feel like everything's in turmoil in my life and I just feel so messed up inside. Like, I don't know what that even looks like. I don't know how to identify myself as a son or daughter. I'm still running in this thing of believing that sin and death and darkness and all this wonkiness is over me. If that's you this morning and you are saying, God, today fill me up to belief and faith that you have justified me, that you have completely satisfied that wrath that I was under, and that you have set me free. If that's you today, and you just need God to come and pour out his love on you in this word, would you just pop your hand up real quick around here? If you're running and earning and striving, okay, I see you, I see you, I see you. Okay, I just want to pray over you right now. Father, in Jesus' name, your gospel is enough. The power of the gospel of Jesus Christ is enough. We don't have to have worship music behind this. I pray that this is a holy moment. Every hand that went up, every hand in the heart that went up, today is the day where that heart has been transferred over from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your Son. I'm asking Jesus right now that every single man, woman, and child in this room, especially those where hands went up, God, they are no longer identified in how bad they are, but in how good you are. I'm asking today that your justification lands on every heart by Jesus Christ, that you have set us free, and that God, you broke off the enemy's schemes. and you've broke off the enemy's darkness, and you've transferred us into your kingdom. If there's nothing else today, God, I'm asking for a bunch of men and women to leave here free. No longer under a curse of earning or striving or believing they can do it on their own. Set them free, Jesus, we pray. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, Keenan. I still got like 10 minutes, though. I love it. Amen. So that's the power of God that starts this thing. It's justification. Okay? I am justified. Now, there's so much more. When he says in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. We talked about this last week. We've reduced the gospel of the kingdom down to forgiveness of sins. I said the sinner's prayer, I notched the belt, and now I go on and I'm wondering why I'm not living life and life abundantly. Because we've reduced the gospel of the kingdom down to confess your sin and then that's all you get. But that's not what Jesus preached in his gospel. That salvation that Paul talks about in Romans 16, if you look up the word salvation, here's what it means: redemption, deliverance, liberation, healing, and helping. That God comes in to save your life means that he has delivered you, he heals you, he helps you, he liberates you, he sets you free, and he gives you that salvation of redemption. I'm telling you today, church, most of the time when we talk about salvation, everybody thinks, he forgave me from my sins. Yes and amen to that, but he did so much more. And the power of the gospel starts there, but there's so much more. The gospel of the kingdom of God is the power of God to deliver and heal and set you free and give you that salvation. And so what we see is Jesus. In Matthew chapter 9, 35, he says these words: Jesus went throughout the towns and the villages proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. They were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send workers into the harvest field." So he's telling his disciples, hey, what you see me doing, preaching the gospel with the demonstration of power, that's what I'm praying for the harvest fields right now. And then he's going to do something in Matthew 10. He's going to equip them to do it. The 12, Jesus called to himself and he sent them out with the following instructions. As you go, it always starts with proclamation of the king and his kingdom. Proclaim this message, the gospel message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. And with that, you're talking about the kingdom, and now put power to the kingdom. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely what? Give. This is what Jesus did in his everyday life. This is what Jesus is doing. He's proclaiming and he's bringing power. Proclamation and power. Proclamation and power. It was his everyday life, and then this is what Jesus is sending his disciples out to do. And I find that God's word carries with all of his promises power to do it in every situation. The problem is again, we reduced it down to a sin issue only. He's gonna forgive you for your sins, but all the other madness that you got in your life, that's on you. You imagine if you read stories where Jesus comes up to the crippled, to the blind, to the woman at the well. Can you imagine if those stories were changed? And those stories where Jesus comes up and he says, hey, you've been forgiven. That physical issue you got going on, though, that's on you. Imagine Jesus going up to the woman at the well, and he tells her, hey, you've been forgiven. That whole husband issue you got going on where you feel like you're just a piece of meat and you got some value issues, that's on you. The woman caught in adultery, thrown naked in the street, Jesus comes and says, hey, you've been forgiven. This whole nakedness thing and all the shame, though, that's on you. That's not what he did. It's not what he did. He went and he offered them the bread of living life. He offered him himself. He offered him his salvation. And in the same token, he also snatched up that dominion of darkness out of their life, that sickness, that disease, that loneliness, that despair, that value issue, that whatever it was. He snatched it out and said, you no longer live there. And that's the power of the gospel. So Jesus says it like this in Luke 4:18. Yes, I came. I came to bring the justification of God. But in Luke 4:18, he grabs the scroll of Isaiah and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. We were all poor. Spiritually, we were all destitute. Somebody say amen. He has sent me to proclaim liberty, freedom to the captives, recovery of the sight, healing to the blind, and to set a liberty to those who are oppressed, to break off that bondage of darkness. And then he says this in John 20:21, as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. Man, there's so much that I pray that we get today. The power of the gospel of Jesus, he says he came to destroy the works of the devil. And so in Romans 14:17, Paul says it like this, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Spirit. Why does he say three things? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Spirit. Because Paul understood what true kingdom of God salvation looked like. Righteousness. We had a sin issue. Jesus came and gave us his righteousness. Why does he say peace? Because you and I, we got some tormenting things that try to come into our life. And he says, my kingdom brings peace, not torment. Why does he say joy? Because everybody says that joy is good medicine to the soul. Amen? He brings joy because there is healing in your life because the joy of the Lord is your strength. He brings righteousness, peace. He brings joy. Here's why. He cares deeply that you're transformed body, soul, and spirit. He cares about you. Let me say this. Transform people, model and demonstrate that same gospel power that Jesus Christ modeled and demonstrated when he walked on the planet. And so in Matthew 28:18, I'll leave you with this. Jesus calls them all together, and he says these words, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. So he's saying, I have authority, that other dominion's done. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Then he tells them to what? Go, make disciples, baptizing them. And then he says these words, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. What did he commanded them? What did he command to them? He tells us in Matthew chapter 10 that we just read earlier. He says he called them to him and he says, I have authority and now I'm giving it to you over unclean spirits. Cast them out, heal every disease and every affliction and proclaim the gospel of the kingdom. So Jesus is saying from one generation to the next, this is what you're instructing them to do. Here's the problem. We've fallen short from one generation to the next. We've said you got a sin issue, deal with it. All the other stuff, we're going to back away from that. And we've missed the full weight of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the full power of it. Matthew 12:28, Jesus tells his disciples these words, but if I by the Spirit of God cast out demons, then God's kingdom has come upon you. Here's my point, church. We have propagated, we have preached, we have ran in a watered down, timid gospel, and today it needs to end. We have left it short. We've said he forgives you for your sins, but you're gonna wander in life and you're gonna struggle in your life, and there's nothing that can be done about it. And Jesus says this, in this life there is trouble. Somebody say amen to that. But take heart, what's he say? I've overcome the world. I brought my kingdom into a place that looked dark. I brought my mandates of heaven into a place that was destructive. I brought my freedom into a place of slavery. I brought my light when you felt like you had no light. Jesus is telling us throughout his whole word that the kingdom of God is power because he justifies us back to God. But he does more than that. He brings healing. He brings that salvation. He brings liberty. He brings his helping hand. And this right here is the power of the gospel. So I'm going to ask you, church, to stand up for a minute. I'm going to ask you to make a commitment with me today that we will not fall short of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if you would, close your eyes, let's pray. And then I'm going to invite you, if you need a hand of healing today, If you need a hand or a touch over your life today, I'm going to invite some of our prayer team and some of our leaders to come forward here in just a moment. We'll dismiss you, but I don't want to leave until we've taken some time to pray over you if you need set free today. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, we proclaim that there is power in the gospel message. We thank you that you justified us, that you set us free, that you've given us that liberty, that you bring healing, you bring restoration. We thank you, God, that in your name, fear has to leave. In your name, death has been defeated. In your name, sickness has to bow. God, we believe with your authority that the church is going to rise again in the power of Jesus Christ. And we're not going to water down and make this message timid any longer. I pray the same prayer the disciples prayed, that you would fill us with all boldness in the power and the message of Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
Thank you so much for tuning in for today's word. We hope that it continues to encourage you and bless you as you go about your day-to-day. And until then, we will see you next Sunday. Have a great week.